The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Well, we're continuing our study on the Ten Commandments, God's top ten. And again, this series is not so that you'll memorize the Ten Commandments. Our purpose is not that you would have the Ten Commandments memorized word for word. As a matter of fact, as we go along, you're going to discover that when we kind of review through the Ten Commandments, we may not always word them the same way. And we do that on purpose because we don't want you to become so attached to the words that are used as much as you are the principles that are taught. Does that kind of make sense? So my desire, and what would make me happy, is if you could leave this morning having taken this fourth commandment that we're going to be talking about, and you would be able to take the principles that are taught and apply those to your life, and in a real way, in a relevant way, a way that actually changes what your week looks like. And so that's my prayer this morning. So let's get into it. We're going to be looking at better than the rest. Better than the rest. And it's from Exodus 28 through 11. First of all, we have covered three commandments already. And I just want to remind you of what those are. We have the first one, which was you must have no other gods. Second one, which is do not make nor worship an idol. The third one was do not misuse the name of God. For a lot of us, I think this was a pretty powerful one. Several people during the week said something to me. As a matter of fact, even this morning, someone said something that this commandment was just really giving them a tough time this week. You know, we're so careless with our language sometimes, and things just kind of slip out, and we need to have an understanding of God's holiness and God's worthiness of praise and not of things that are empty and would not bring Him glory. So that's a tricky one for us. And so this morning we're going to be looking at the fourth commandment. Let's pray and we'll jump right into this. God, my prayer this morning, Father, is that, first of all, our hearts and minds will be open to what You have for us, God. That's always our desire as we come here and we open Your Word. And secondly, God, I would pray that as we hear Your Word, that it wouldn't just be words, God, but we would be able to take Your heart and the things that You want to communicate directly to our hearts, and that would be something that just seeps into who we are as followers of You. That's my prayer this morning, so that when we walk out of this building, God, we would go into a world that doesn't understand You and doesn't respect You and doesn't have concern for the things that are valuable to You, Father, and we could walk into that world and we can make a difference because of the way we live our lives. Help us to be able to do that this morning, Father. And as I speak, I pray that the words that I say would be Your words and not my words. Thank You, God. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's look at Exodus 28 through 11. It goes like this. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, He rested. And that is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Let's talk about the word the Sabbath, first of all. I've heard this word thrown around, and usually when I've heard it, it's been maybe in a Jewish setting, because we kind of think of the word Sabbath as being something that's a Jewish practice. Obviously, the origin is Hebrew, and so that makes a lot of sense. The word is Shabbat, and Shabbat means literally to cease. to stop what you're doing. When I was a kid, we used to play a game called freeze tag. Anybody ever play freeze tag? Okay, you're running along trying to get away. As soon as they touch you, what do you have to do? Stand still. And I don't know if the rule was that you had to freeze in the exact same position you were in, but that's how we played it. So if you were like on one foot and you were running, you had to freeze and you were just like, until someone tagged you and you could move again. So the idea of this word is that some activity has to stop. It has to cease. And more specifically, the Sabbath means the act of resting or period of rest. So if we were to take the Sabbath literally, would you honestly say that there would be a change in the way you're living, the activities that you're doing, if you were truly honoring God's Sabbath? Let's talk about that. That's what we're here to talk about this morning. So the first thing that I see in this passage is that God is calling us to keep it sacred, to keep it sacred. Look at what it says in verse 8. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, somebody once told me this, and I was excited to hear this because it's made a really big difference when I study the Bible. Somebody told me that whenever you come across the word holy, that you can substitute the words set apart. So that's what I've done. Set apart. Why is that? Because the literal meaning of the word holy is to set something aside or to set it apart. Now, if you were to say God is holy, now what does that mean in respect to God? It means that God is apart from his creation. God has a completely different list of standards than what his creation has, because we're not God. And so God's holiness is God's separateness. The thing that defines who we are is our sin nature. Because it's such a powerful influence in our lives. We're all born with a sin nature, a desire to do wrong. And because of that, we are separate from God. That is why right now, you cannot be in God's presence, in God's physical presence, because of our sin nature. There's going to be a time where you are going to be in God's presence. And it's going to be a time where God is completely done away with that. But for now, it's a thing that we struggle with and we deal with on a regular basis. So God is saying, I want you to keep the Sabbath holy. In other words, set it apart. Okay, so let's talk about this, what the Sabbath is as far as a time frame here. Because some people would say that the Sabbath is an entire week. Some people would say that the Sabbath is a time of the year. Some people would say that the Sabbath is one day out of the week. Who's right? How do you know really what the time period is that involves the Sabbath? Well, I think if we were to take just the passage that we're talking about where God is saying, I want you to keep it holy, I think our understanding would be in this context that it's a day of the week. Now, I say that, but also understand that as we learn the principles behind the Sabbath, we'll know that this could apply to any period of time. And hopefully that'll make sense to you as we go along. Okay, so keep it sacred. I'm going to define the word sacred for you. Sacred, dedicated or set apart for service or worship. We can make anything sacred. In some countries, a cow is sacred. Okay, you can make anything sacred if you set it apart and you designate it as something that's going to be worshipped. The Sabbath, it's not so much that the Sabbath is sacred because the Sabbath is such a holy thing, but because it points to the object of holiness, which is God. Okay? So the Sabbath is sacred or holy because it is God's, not because of the time frame. Your Sabbath should be exclusively dedicated to God and set apart for his glory. Your Sabbath should be exclusively dedicated to God and set apart for his glory. Okay, now, when I throw that definition of what your Sabbath should look like, right off the bat, we start feeling a little bit uncomfortable because we're like, oh man, okay, if there's a time period, if there's a day that I'm dedicating to God and it's got to be exclusively God's, then, I mean, what's in it for me? What happens on this day? What do I get out of it? You know, we're always looking for that. Right? We want to know what's my part of the bargain, because there's got to be some sort of a cut that I can receive from this. And that's not the right attitude, but amazingly enough, there is a cut there is something that we receive out of this. But understand that the more that you strive to make your Sabbath something that is honoring and exclusive to God, the more the Sabbath is going to become valuable to you. And you're going to understand that in just a minute here. John 17, verses 16 and 17. Jesus is praying a prayer, and the prayer is written down and recorded for us, and it's a prayer of God the Son to the Father, and he's praying about us. He says, "They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth." He says, make them holy, which means what? Set apart. God wants us to be set apart for his purpose. And when it comes to this day or this time period that we're dedicating to God, he wants it to be his. He wants it to be exclusive and for his honor. Okay, so what do we get out of it? We're starting to get to that point because my next 3 points actually has to do with what we receive out of the Sabbath. Okay, the second thing is the Sabbath should be out of the ordinary. Out of the ordinary. Check out what it says in verse 9. Verse 9, it says, "You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work." Now here in one verse is described all the other time in your life that is not the Sabbath. And what's the descriptive word for it? Ordinary. Who wants to be ordinary? I mean, let's be honest. Okay, none of us want to like stand out in the crowd so much that, you know, people would point us out. But if someone were to call you ordinary, would that feel like an insult? We were watching this cooking show. Debbie might have to remind me what it is. It's one where these chefs are competing and they end up chopping one of them and say, "You're out of the competition." Anybody know what that's called? Chopped. Okay, whatever. That's a good name for it. And one of the girls that was a contestant, one of the chefs, one of the judges called her ordinary. She said, "You're just ordinary. There's nothing special about you," talking about her presentation. And you should have seen the look on her face. I mean, it was like the lady had smacked her. She was hurt. No one wants to be called ordinary. But God uses the word ordinary to describe the week that is not the Sabbath. Your ordinary week. And so that means that if our week is ordinary, and maybe you have a really good week, okay, so you're like, "Man, this week's above average. I could do this every week." That means that your Sabbath has to be better than the week you just experienced. Okay? Now, this becomes a little bit of a challenge for us because God is actually raising the bar for us when it comes to the Sabbath, the day we're dedicated to him, because he's saying it needs to be out of the ordinary. And if your ordinary just happens to be a little better than average, the Sabbath needs to be way up there. Mercedes came out with a sports car a few years back, and they wanted to design a sports car that was going to blow all other sports cars away. I mean, this is Mercedes-Benz, so I mean, they could put out some pretty fancy vehicles, but they wanted theirs to be. I mean, there's a lot of cool cars out there, okay? And they wanted to come up with a car that just had a design that would just turn people's heads. I have a picture of the Mercedes SLR. Okay, there it is. That's my ride right there. I'll be all up in that. Just the fact that I don't even care if that car runs. Look at the doors. Come on. I just sit in that thing in my driveway. Feel good about myself. it has such a sleek, cool design. It has another, like a convertible. Show the next picture, Jerry. Look at that thing. Oh my goodness, I want to drive it. Okay, so they had the car designed the way it was going to look. They had the prototype, they had it all done, and they were like, "Okay, this car looks good, but there's still a lot of really good-looking cars out there. So what can we do to make this car better than all those other cars?" And so they get together and start talking about it. What can we do? And people are going to test drive this car to see if they want to buy it. And the person that sits behind this car has also sat, you know, maybe in a Maserati, a Ferrari, something like that. And so what about this car could be so impressive, so out of the ordinary? Well, it had just come about that I think it was Toyota had introduced the push-button ignition, where, you know, the keyless start. So you push a button, your car starts up. It's like, that's pretty cool. Okay, pretty hard to top that. Well, Mercedes-Benz said, we can top that. So they decided to put the push-button ignition in this car. But they said, you know, if we have it on the dash or on the steering column, I mean, that's just ordinary. So we're going to put it on the top of the gear shift. Okay? So you push down on the top of the gear shift. Vroom! Start that bad boy up. Okay. That wasn't enough. Because that still, it's a push button. That everybody has the push button, or at least Toyota does. So let's take it one step further. And this is what they did. They took a little piece of metal, and it might even be glass in some of the cars, and it's on a hinge, and it just sits over that button like a flap. So in order to start that car, you got to flip that up and start it. Vroom. Okay, what does that remind you of? Let me just tell you, every fighter pilot movie I've ever seen, Top Gun, what's the one that has the Louis Gossett Jr. in it? Iron Eagle. I mean, okay, you see these movies, these fighter pilots, right? I mean, and they got this guy on the site, and they got him locked. Okay, target is locked in. They're getting ready to fire the missile. What do? They flip up that little hinge, right? And they push the button. So you're not just driving the Mercedes SLR, you're firing a missile. That's out of the ordinary. And this, people went crazy over this car, people that could afford it. And it was just something, I mean, how much did that cost? Like $3 or $4, you know, to do that hinge or whatever it was. But it just took that car to the top. It was out of the ordinary. Now, I want you to think about your week, because you can have a good week. I'm not saying you're going to have an SLR week, but you can have a pretty good week. The Sabbath needs to be that hinge on your week. It needs to be that extra, that you're firing a missile on the Sabbath, okay? Are you beginning to understand what I'm talking about here? How much different this day that's set apart needs to be? In other words, your Sabbath should never be mundane or ritualistic. It should stand out as an extraordinary change from your average week. That's what your Sabbath should be like. So if Sunday is your Sabbath, which I think most of us would say Sunday is a day that we set aside for God, that week has to be, or that day has to be extraordinary. Not only does, the question is, in Deuteronomy 3:24, it says, Sovereign Lord, you have begun to show to your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and the mighty works that you do? Here's a description of the most powerful being in existence. And this is the one that this day is all about. The one who has everything. What can you give the God who has everything? Psalms 145 verse 4 says, Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I love the fact that God's faithfulness is tied to the fact that his compassion for us is new. It's brand new every day. I'm looking for something new for my Sabbath. Because if God is going through all the trouble of making things new for me, what can I do to make my Sabbath extraordinary for him? And so the question is, what are you doing to make your Sabbath extraordinary? What are you doing to make your Sabbath extraordinary? The third thing is, the Sabbath is all-inclusive. It's all-inclusive. Verse 10 says, But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. Okay, there's a lot of people in this list now. So somehow God is saying your Sabbath needs to affect the people around you. It needs to be all-inclusive. In other words, invite others into your Sabbath. Invite others into your Sabbath. The celebration of your Sabbath should be a welcoming and appealing experience that others could easily join in. There was a time in my life where I was embarrassed to invite people to come to church. I'm just going to be honest. I wasn't at Remnant, because I'm not ashamed of Remnant, but there was a time where I was like, you know what? I don't know about this. I'm afraid if I invite somebody to be a part of my Sabbath that maybe they're going to be disappointed, that maybe they're not going to find it to be as appealing as I do. And at times I was like, man, do I find it to be appealing? And as time grew on and on, I began to realize that that had more to do with me than it had to do with where I would celebrate my Sabbath. Does that make sense? That had more to do with my attitude towards the day that I was giving to God. Because it wasn't about the church building I was in. It wasn't about the people that were there. It wasn't about the worship band. It wasn't about the whole experience. It was about my heart and my attitude towards God concerning the Sabbath. Now, you'll notice something. When we're talking about the Sabbath, I keep saying your Sabbath. I'm not saying the Sabbath. I'm saying your Sabbath. Why? Because I want you to have ownership. And I believe God wants you to have ownership in the Sabbath. I believe that God wants you to call it your own and claim it as your own. And when you have ownership in the Sabbath, you are going to be excited about it. When you realize that this is something that's special between you and God, you're going to want to invite as many people as possible. And maybe it's not to come to Remnant. Maybe it's because you just want people to come together so you can talk about God and what an incredible God he is. Maybe that's how you celebrate your Sabbath. See, I'm not the type of person that will tell you, okay, you've got to be in church every Sunday in order to celebrate the Sabbath, in order to observe the Sabbath. I think that I would be in error if I told you that. Because I believe that whatever you can do in that day to consecrate and dedicate that day to God, that day is going to be a Sabbath. And maybe one day on a Sunday, Remnant won't meet in a building. Maybe one day instead of meeting here and worshiping together, maybe instead we'll go feed the homeless in the park. Maybe we'll do something like that that will bring God glory, and we'll dedicate our day to him and still do that. You see, the religious people began to take what God was calling a day that needed to be set apart and holy for him, and they began to put all sorts of rules on it. And as a matter of fact, there were so many rules on the Sabbath that Jesus himself said the Sabbath is no longer honoring God. Is that the kind of Sabbath that we want to celebrate? No, not me. No way. I don't want my Sabbath to be so tied up in liturgy and rituals and the mundane and the ordinary that it becomes dishonoring to God. Again, that prayer that Jesus prayed to God concerning us. John 17, 22 through 23, he says, I've given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me, and that you love them as much as you love me. Isn't it incredible that Jesus would pray a prayer to God, and his prayer would be that we would come together and we would be one, that we would unite? God is saying, your Sabbath should touch the people around you, and they should be invited in to celebrate with you, to join with you. So the question is, what is it about your Sabbath that draws others in? What is it about your Sabbath that draws others in? And if it's not happening, what can you do to change that? I can't tell you, because it's your Sabbath, and you're going to do it the way you feel honors God the best. But what changes can you make that would make it more appealing to those around you? That people would see the day that you dedicate to God and they would say, you know what, I'm kind of jealous. I want to do something like that. I want to have a day of my week that I give entirely to God, because that looks like something that I'm missing out on big time. And the last thing is this. The Sabbath needs to be restful and refreshing. It needs to be restful and refreshing. Look at verse 11. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Once again, the word holy, substitute the words set apart. So what is this verse talking about? It's describing a pretty busy week, wouldn't you say? I mean, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and then it's like the list was just going to be too extensive, so he's like, and everything in them. Have you had a busy week like that? I mean, I just got done with an incredibly busy week. We had a major fundraiser with Youth for Christ, and we had all kinds of stuff going on in addition to just my regular duties. And on Friday after we were done with our fundraiser, I was like, I am beat. I am just completely worn out. I mean, I'm spent. And yet, I did not have as busy day or as busy a week as God had when he created the heavens and the earth. Now, okay, we say, well, God's God, right? So, I mean, if God can do anything, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's all-sufficient, he's omnipresent. I mean, all those things that describe who God is, it's like, yeah, okay, God can do all that in 1 week and not have to rest because he's God. So why did God take a break? Why did God stop his creative work and say, you know what? It's time to rest. Why would God do that? I believe that God was teaching us one of the most important principles of living our Christian life. If we're going to truly be followers of Christ, I think we've got to get a grasp of what it means to honor the Sabbath. Because if it was important enough for God to take a rest, don't you think it's important for us to do it? I mean, God who doesn't need it. I mean, you'll have a week and you'll say to yourself, oh, I don't need to rest. I can keep going. I can keep plugging. I can keep going ahead. You've done it before, haven't you? You've worn yourself out. You've emotionally and physically exhausted yourself. And the next week was cruddy. I've done that. The Sabbath has to be restful and refreshing. In other words, your Sabbath should provide rejuvenation that will carry you into the following week. Whatever is happening on that day that you set apart for God, it needs to refresh you so that you can go into the next week. And you can go into the next week in a way that's going to bring honor to God because you're ready for it. Has Monday ever arrived and you were like, I am not ready for Monday? I see a lot of people's Facebook status on Monday. And a lot of people say things like, I hate Monday. Monday, you're my enemy. Monday, why do you plague me so? You know, it's like all these people are just like, no, I don't want to start my week. But what would it be like if you took the day before your week began and you said, I'm going to make this a time that's restful and rejuvenating so that I can charge into this week with my batteries on full, okay? 4 bars or, you know, if you have another phone, maybe you have 5 bars. But the point is, you're recharged and you're ready to begin the week. I mean, this is the whole idea. This is the whole concept. This is the reason that God said creation is going to happen in 7 days instead of 6. Because I want to prove to the people, my creation, that this is so important and so valuable that even I will do it. This is why the fourth commandment is such a big deal. I mean, this is like the first thing that God instituted. I mean, he created everything, but he said, I'm making a rule here. And the rule is, you need to take a break. Now, if you're in the habit of taking 6 days of breaks, yeah, there's a problem there. Because we're supposed to be busy. We're supposed to be industrious. We're supposed to be doing things. Okay? So if you're the type of person that's like, dude, every day is my Sabbath. It's me and my Nintendo, PlayStation. I got Sabbath going on right after church. Here's the thing. You got to understand that we're talking about a day that you've set aside for God's purpose, okay? And so, I mean, when you think about it, there's a lot of planning, there's a lot of thought process that goes into honoring the Sabbath. You've got to really think about it. I mean, what can I do to make my Sabbath sacred? What can I do to make my Sabbath out of the ordinary? What can I do differently to make my Sabbath all-inclusive so the people in my home that maybe I left them at home when I went to church. I'm like, see you guys later, I'm going to church. Maybe instead of going to church one Sunday, you need to say, hey family, I'm not going to go to church today. Why don't we all go out to breakfast together? Or better yet, maybe I'll fix everybody breakfast. And if you don't mind, I have a really cool verse I'd like to share with you. What would that be like in your family if that happened? Your family that doesn't know God and maybe doesn't believe in God or not really concerned about the things of God, if you said, let me do something really nice for you, and make a nice restful day for you and talk a little bit about why this is so important to me. Maybe there's something you can do to make your Sabbath all-inclusive And maybe there's something you can do to make your Sabbath refreshing and rejuvenating. Now, I'm not going to say you've got to write down all these rules and say, I'm only going to walk this many steps on the Sabbath. You know, I'm only going to do this many things. I'm doing laundry, and it's like, I reached my limit. I'm not putting those clothes in the dryer. They're going to mildew. It's not my fault. I'm honoring the Sabbath. My point is this, that the Sabbath, I believe, takes a little more planning than what we're used to. There's a little bit more involved in the Sabbath than what we're used to, maybe what we thought about it before. And this is, a lot of this is new for me, because as I'm reading through this and God was exposing these things to me, I started to think to myself, you know what? I really haven't been honoring the Sabbath in the way that God has set me up to do it. I mean, there's things about my Sabbath that really are not following these principles. And so I've got some changes to make. And maybe you look at yours and you'd say, I've got some changes to make. I've got some work to do. Matthew 11:28, Jesus' words, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus is a God who invites us to rest. You know what that makes Jesus? That makes him our Sabbath. And isn't it interesting that the Bible actually describes Jesus as the Sabbath? As a matter of fact, the Bible uses a term, the Paschal Lamb, which means the Sabbath Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb. That's a description of Jesus. Jesus is our Sabbath. He's our rest. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be able to be rejuvenated. We wouldn't be able to be refreshed. Jesus is the one that makes that happen. And so if you're trying to have a restful Sabbath and you're excluding God from it, first of all, you're not really having a Sabbath. And second of all, it's not going to be as restful and refreshing as it could be if God was at the center of it. Does it make sense? Psalms 91 verse 1 says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I love that verse because it tells me that if I am right there in God's protection, in God's arms, I find rest. I don't just find protection and shelter from the things around me, but I get to rest. I get to relax. I get to be refreshed and rejuvenated. But it takes some planning. It takes some thoughts to make the Sabbath what it should be. And so, you know, this week that's coming up, what's going to be different about it? What's going to be different about this coming Sunday? If Sunday you would say, that's my Sabbath, what's going to be different about it? And I'm not saying that Sunday has to be your Sabbath. If you said, hey, you know what? I'm going to dedicate my whole Saturday to God. I'm still going to come to church on Sunday, of course. but that's going to be my day that I give to God. That's, man, I think that's cool. And I don't think that God is going to say, no, you can't do that because it's not the right day of the week. But I think that what God will have a problem with is if you continue to go weeks and weeks and weeks without giving him that Sabbath. As a matter of fact, God punished his people that he loved and cared for, because they weren't honoring the Sabbath. And you know how he punished them? He put them in slavery. He said, you're going to be enslaved for the number of years equal to the time that you neglected to give me a Sabbath. That's pretty serious stuff. God's serious about the Sabbath. But it's not just that God wants us to do something because he wants to be that controlling God. It's because he knows that the Sabbath is something that we need. We need the Sabbath. As much as God wants us to have our Sabbath, we need it. Look at this last statement. The restfulness of your Sabbath is dependent upon your ability to leave the prior week behind you. And that's a big deal. If you can leave the week that just happened behind you and say, you know what, that's in the past, it's gone, I can't go back. Sometimes you wish you could. You're like, man, I really screwed up on Wednesday, and the whole week stunk since that time. You wish you could go back, but you know what? If you're going to make the Sabbath what it should be, you've got to be able to leave that week behind and say, God, refresh me and rejuvenate me for the week to come. This afternoon or this evening, Debbie and I are going to go to San Diego. We're going to go to a little restaurant we like that serves ramen. That's so good. Oh, my mouth has started watering right now. Wow. It's going to be part of our Sabbath. It's going to be part of that refreshing and that rejuvenating and getting out of the heat of the valley for a little period of time. How is your Sabbath going to be different because you're taking these principles and you're applying them to your week. Let's pray.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.